All right, here gotcha. We go. Ready?
All right, okay. Wing it.
All right, welcome to the first special TV episode of season 4 of Three and a Half Gentlemen, the podcast, where three of the four hosts provide a refined and intellectual analysis of movies from our private collections, while one of us tries desperately to keep up. As always, we'll let you decide which host is which, but for now, my name is Sean, and with me, as always, are my co-travelers across the dangerous zombie-infested world, Jeremiah.
I'm taking a ride with my best friends, yo.
Eddie.
Your watch is broken.
And Brandon.
I'm never going to look at mushrooms the same way ever again.
Ever. Right? Oh, my God. That was a good one.
No more tripping.
Like a mushroom pizza attacks us.
So this episode, we're taking a break of season 4 with our podcasts. So we're going to kind of start this month off by taking a look at one of the most popular HBO Max shows right now currently.
Nice, yo. And as with every review we give, our goal is to answer one simple question. How many drinks does it take to get through the film, or in this case, a TV episode we just watched? Now, at the end of the podcast, we'll rate the episode based on a scale of 0 to 5. 0 being the perfect episode that you can watch stone cold sober, and 5 being sort of the episode that makes you want to take a wrench to your elderly neighbor's face after she tries to eat your daughter. I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world, man. Fuck, you gotta go.
It's a neighbor-eat-neighbor world.
That's legit.
I'm not gonna lie. There, and we'll talk about this, but the scene where her reflection and that lady like opens her fucking mouth. Oh! Anyway.
Before you start, nothing's more scary than when you see a person, especially an older person, that's in the back of the scene, out of focus, and doing weird shit with their body. And fucking doing it. It's right. The scariest fucking thing, dude.
I was just like, turn around. The dog. I felt so bad for the dog. The dog's like, don't leave me.
I would say this is a pretty anticipated show, perhaps not by most of the hosts, but at least some of us. I mean, I've been kind of waiting for this show for a little bit. So what do we have infecting our minds and bodies fungally this evening, gentlemen?
It's a fun guy right there. Tonight, we begin our journey with Joel, Tess, Ellie, and for a very short time, Sarah in HBO Max's The Last of Us. The series follows a band of survivors after a pandemic outbreak destroys what looks to be the vast majority of the world's population. With episode 1, we are thrown into this post-apocalyptic world, which establishes the characters and the general plotline to the series, which is a road trip through the destroyed United States while fungal zombie creatures roam free and hungry. The season has an IMDb score of 9.4, an average critic score of 97%, and an audience score of 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's pretty big right
okay.
there.
Okay. It is. I mean, it's a pretty well-liked show.
Fans. It's also a little early, too. Yeah. It's a little early.
I was going to say, it's very new. Very new.
It's like 100 people voted.
It's green. Yeah. Because I'm watching this show, and I'm like, okay. So let's start by getting rid of the obvious comparison, which is The Walking Dead.
And
I think The Walking Dead was... And Children of Men, but let's Walking Dead from a TV perspective, from a oh my god, I got you right off the bat perspective. The Walking Dead, which I am in the middle of rewatching actually right now, at the end of season 2. I will say, The Walking Dead, in my opinion, set the roadmap for at least the tone of this show on television. And there's a lot that I wish that this show would take from that. And there's a lot that I wish they would leave behind. I'm very curious. This is going to be my parallel, right? What they did with Walking Dead and what they do with this show. I know it's based on a video game, but I'm very much looking forward to story-driven seasons, histories, what happened in the missing 20 years. There's a lot of meat on the bone, and I hope they don't destroy it by just killing characters left, right, and center. That's what I'm hoping that they don't do.
It's pretty interesting how this episode started, because they actually start with the opening prologue, you know, regarding to everyone talking about the pandemics and, you know.
Yeah, in the 60s, right? Was it the 70s or 60s?
In the 60s. Yeah. So that was not in the game. And it's really interesting how you see it starts off with Sarah, and it gives her more of a story regarding to her relationship with her father, which I thought was really a fucking convincing in a lot of ways. But yeah, the opening prologue part was fucking interesting, especially seeing that one guy from The Mummy. Yeah.
So you're talking about the prologue. Are you talking about the prologue where they were on the television talking about the virus? Okay. Because his name is John Hanna, and I hope that he gets on this show a little bit more, because he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. probably now it's been 5 or 10 years ago, and he was so fucking good on television. He's a good television
actor. He's a good actor.
And so I would really like to see a little bit more of him. But what I think was so good for me is they did something, and I'm going to continue to do this with Walking Dead, is they gave you an answer right out front. Mm-hmm. It is a fungal infection. It's a fungal infection that basically uses the body heat of the human body to manipulate the human body. The human body is not dead, or else the fungus couldn't survive. It's taking over and controlling the mind. Yeah. I think that concept right there has already given it a little bit leap above Walking Dead. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah.
The idea of it is so easy too, because it's like, okay, well, the body, the temperature, obviously it can't survive if the body, the temperature stays at a certain range. But then if that all changes, you know, because of, I don't know, weather, climate, and the body itself, and just overall 30 years have gone by and everyone changes, right? The world has changed since then. So it makes it really cool. Like, yeah, scientifically it was good then, we could survive, but now 30 years, no one, I mean, this was a cool little, like, look into the future. We could be fucked. And then this is what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the way I look at it is, I think that, yeah, Jeremy, you're absolutely right that kind of explanation right off the bat was really, really cool. And I love seeing John Hanna. Because I mean, yeah, he takes me back to the good old Mummy days of 1999. But one thing that I really liked, but also at the same time, I think they really messed up in their marketing, is that they set up this relationship between Joel and Sarah, right? Father, daughter, that she's a likable as fuck character. And, you know, if they hadn't have, you know, in all the marketing and all the promotion said, oh, you know, this story is about this man and taking Ellie, this character, across the wasteland, right? If they had just said it's about a man and a girl going across the wasteland, that would have been such a great left hook that nobody saw coming when she dies, right? But for me, I knew that she wasn't the girl.
I didn't see it coming.
I knew that she wasn't the girl because I read IMDb and I saw the poster. And I'm like, it's not her. Dude. But man, it would have been such a great, wow, 180 if she dies, because she was such a great character.
She was.
I think you're in the minority, Brandon. Most people did not read IMDb. I don't think that most people have played this game. There are several who have, obviously. It's a hugely game. Popular game. Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that for the normal person sitting at home, I saw very little promo for this. I saw a couple of trailers. The poster was great. So when Sarah, you know, inevitably died, I was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, what the fuck just happened?
And that's the feeling I wanted. That's the feeling I wanted, and I lost it. I didn't get that, and I was pissed about it. Jeremy, you got something?
I played this game, like, a little bit of just the first part of it, but I couldn't finish it because it fucking scared the shit out of me. But I remember her dying, but I totally forgot when I watched this episode that she fucking died. I was completely like, holy shit. And what's really cool is that these extra scenes that the creators provided for us really gave more context to the character, right? And so when that shit happens, it's fucking like just tragic, yo. And it's really done well on that part, because that knocked me off left field, and I was in tears in that part right there, yo.
I wanted that feeling. Yeah.
One of the criticisms I have about The Mandalorian, which is a fabulous show, is that you have very little backstory about who the Mandalorian is and why he acts the way he does, why he's a curmudgeonly old man. Here, you have all of a sudden context as to why Joel has gone from this wonderful, loving father to, I don't even fucking want to look at this child. I don't want anything to do with this new kid. I don't trust her. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that context is so fucking important to a character that's stoic. And there's very few people I would say that play a stoic character like Pedro Pascal. He is so emotive with his face.
You know what?
I love
it. No, it's he embraces silence better than I think a lot of actors do. Right? He can be still. And I think that not a whole lot of actors can do that. And he does it beautifully under the helmet, you know, if we're going to say that, with Mandalorian. And he does that same thing here. And I think that's what it is.
Have you seen, how far are you in Game of Thrones?
I've not gotten to him yet. But I did see the spoilers.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, God, dude.
For that season, he was a fucking rock star.
A rock star.
To have, that says something. To have a footprint in Game of Thrones, The Mandalorian, and now possibly this.
And now this one.
Bro, that says.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Amazing.
He's a walking legend, dude. I mean,
I saw a joke that it was like a Chuck Norris joke. It was like, Pedro Pascal doesn't do TV shows often, but what do you do? They get 94 fucking percent on Rotten Tomatoes.
You get the idea, though. This one, Joel, he's military, right? He's ex-military.
Ex-military.
We don't know if he is ex-military or not. We don't know if it's his brother or if it's his brother or if it's him actually.
But the way he acts, his knowledge, I think he is. It's him or both of them.
I think he's a criminal. I think he's the opposite. Oh. I think that you're going to find out that he was the shady one who got clean, and his brother never caught up. And then the pandemic hit, and they said they basically went two different ways. So Pedro Pascal went back to his old ways of being kind of a criminal, and his brother went the other way and wanted to, you know, freedom fight for the cause, blah, blah, blah. And this is where, and this is all speculation, but I'm watching this show because I'm looking at the freedom fighters.
Fireflies.
They call themselves the
Fireflies.
Fireflies.
Yeah. I think we should let the audience know that all four of us, we haven't played the game.
Barely played.
Yeah. So I know the listeners are like, oh, it's this part. Like, listen, we are fucking like
in the dark.
We have no idea. We're so in the dark.
We need a firefly to leave.
Right. So you've got what's his name, Eddie? I'm sorry.
Joel.
You got Joel, who's basically taking this totalitarian government on from behind the scenes in a black market kind of way. And then you've got the Firefly is trying to kind of what I feel like is overcome the totalitarian government. Yeah. And then you've got the totalitarian government trying to keep people in control. And it's just, first of all, I want to say how terrifying it is that this is what it could be if a real pandemic really got out of control. I'll be out the fucking the zone. Like, just get me out of the. I don't want to be safe. Bullshit. I don't want to.
I see. Oh, Sean fuck you, mayor of his little town. And
he
like,
really
he
would
instantly.
He's going to be the governor.
That's just like the governor. Like, yeah, that's exactly.
I can see he did.
Hey, the governor was a badass character.
Yo, check this out, man. Just there's a few things. Like in the beginning of this episode, I think there's so many cool hints and clues of what's happening. I really like how they use like this tension build up where she goes to the school and you see a kid having the twitch and everything like that. And then you see her kind of like going around and you see kind of like things are just kind of falling apart and everything. And then when the night scene happens and she has to go to the neighbors next door, you're just like, oh, fuck, oh, shit. And then it just all hell breaks loose. What do you guys think about that scene? Because I thought the opening sequence was fucking pretty fucking.
So I got it. I'm going to take this one first. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
So listen, I love good movies. I know that sounds so whatever. But the reality is I love good movies. And I think that one of the best movies, or at least what I love is I love great shot movies, great film movies, cinematographic movies that are just beautiful. And there are very few cinematographic movies that are at a quality like Children of Men. And I know I'm going to keep saying this because the parallels are literally in my notes here. And when I'm watching it, I said, it's almost too spot on to Children of Men, but you've got that driving scene, which is one of the most famous scenes, I think, in modern cinema from Children of Men, where it's a single long cut,
the
long
one shot.
Take, and yeah. Sean knows how much I love long shots or long takes, and it's all done in the car, and the camera is beautifully, it's like you know, like a ballet of movement, and the car is moving and people are jumping out and things are happening outside the car and things are happening inside the car. And they basically did their version of it, right? It was a smaller, shorter shot, but it was basically the same exact same concept that they did in this film or in this TV show. And I think it was good, but at the same time, to me, it was too much like Children of Men. But it was beautiful because it showed the panic and the paranoia and the freak out right from the get-go, from within the camera or from within the car.
I'm going to agree and disagree with you and make a comment. The comment is, number one, I have never wanted to see Children of Men because I fucking hate Clive Owen more than life itself. No, I'm just kidding.
His voice,
I can't stand it. I'm sorry. Okay, so I will watch that movie. But I will say that It reminded me of The Quiet Place slightly, with The Quiet Place either part one or part two. I can't remember, with that long shot of Krasinski just grabbing the kids and going. But I will say this. I got a very video game feel from that, from a rear perspective, yes, of the car.
I see what you're saying.
And I think, yes. I think that, first of all, it was brilliant. It was great. When you say it was close to Children of Men, I don't know, because I haven't seen the movie, but I would argue that,
yeah,
their perspective is very similar to what the video game's reaction to that scene is.
It's almost really like seriously like next to each other with what you saw on the screen in the video
very
game.
Parallel.
They just did it in another different way. I can't really describe how I thought that scene was fucking great, man.
Yeah, it was.
It really got the shit out of it.
This just proves too, you should never live in a metropolitan area. And I'll ask you this question. Do you stay home, you lock your doors, or do you go out? What do you do? What do you do tomorrow?
Okay,
I do. I go find my neighbors who don't have weapons, and I take all their shit, and then I come back to my house.
Fucking look at this guy,
that? Do you just hunker down until the worst of it's over, or get out there? Like, because they're leaving moment it starts. They're fucking like on the road. Let's get out of here.
Honestly, for me,
and
I'd
for
be
me,
a hunker.
It's like
I'd be a hunker down.
It depends where you at.
I already know though, if something's going to happen, it's going to be execute order 66 type of shit where everyone's going to get fucking executed and whatnot. And I'm like, okay, we need to go to the mountains. We need to be Red Dawn, Wolverine shit, and fucking
Mammoth
Lake. And that's it. River. Just
everyone,
wait it
everyone,
out.
Everyone meet at the Mammoth House. However, I will be screening your blood. Yeah. Well,
with a little hot wire, like.
Also, Sean, you have to see in order to get in, what can you bring to the table? Like, what are you bringing? You bring in like a couple of cases of water.
I bring joy and laughter. I bring entertainment.
I tell you what, this movie, this show, these type of shows, I'm watching Walking Dead. I'm like, I need to get food, mostly like dehydrated food, like that'll last for years. I want to be Brendan Fraser in what's that movie where he's stuck under the house for 40 years?
Blast from the Past.
Oh, Blast from the Past.
Blast from the Past.
Oh, God.
Great movie.
God, you always pull fucking movies like some hidden, like some vault shit, dude. So funny, man.
Yeah, he was.
Yes, he was.
So that scene right there with the soldier ready about to, you know, shoot so Joel sad. And Sarah, it's just, sad, but do you feel like that was kind of a mercy kill?
Well, you get the feeling
that,
like,
I think that was not a chance.
Like, he didn't want to do it. Or
no,
do you feel like, okay, I already see what's happening?
Yeah.
That's Order 66.
Just
listen, what I'm saying
is, people are talking about it right now.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that it sounds horrible, but I'm all about death scenes because I think they can either be jokes where we laugh at it and we say that is so pathetic and oh my God, it's almost like that Shakespearean death that just goes on and on and on. It's just like fucking die already. Or you can have, I think, some of the best, most heartfelt, heart-wrenching scenes to watch on camera. So an example is I go back to Max's almost death scene in Stranger Things season 4, right? And I go back to Saving Private Ryan, which I know I talked about a couple of times ago when we were doing, I think, one of the shows. That is the best acting I've ever seen in my life, and I've never seen anything different. I thought that Sarah's death was up there on the level and quality of best death scenes I've ever seen in any kind of show, movie, film ever. So I mean, to me, that was so beautiful, and it sets everything up. Like I get Joel's upset, I get his pain, and I feel it.
Oh,
you see him like 20 years later, and that fucking scene with the kid that comes just straggling into like the quarantine zone place, and he does his positive or whatever, and then the next scene you see Joel carrying his lifeless body, and you see the shoes that the kid was wearing into, and he throws him to the pit. And you just see, like, it doesn't fucking matter to Joel. It's like he's fucking broken and shit like that.
So we see the effects, right? It affects him in such a meaningful way.
So there are so many ways for a show, a writer, to describe the state of affairs 20 years later, right? That you can do like a conversation between two characters. You could do another supposition on the on the screen. The way that they did it basically was without any dialogue at all, and it was beautiful. Let me explain what I mean. You have a child, the most innocent member of society, basically escaping from the family, escaping from his home group that he's clearly been suffering with. He was born during the pandemic because he's not over 20 years old. He is stumbling with these very indistinguishable shoes on. He gets to the safe place, to the safety zone. And instead of saying, are you infected? Are you not infected? She's treating him like a child. She's going to get him some food. She's going to get him something to play with, anything he wants. You see the little red dot in the back when they give him his test. And that tells you everything you fucking need to know about the last 20 years. They don't have a vaccine. They have no idea what they're doing. He's going to die. Like, even the most innocent child, they still can't save after 20 fucking years of this. So it catches you up so beautifully with no dialogue whatsoever. I think that is writing at its fucking peak. I think that's the best you can possibly get.
Was the kid sick, though?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So let me just go. And then Eddie, I want to hear what you think. No. But here's the thing. So again, this is me coming into after watching one episode, right? Yeah. I think Eddie, you got a great point. I think we're on the same plane mm-hmm. right now. So here's the deal. From mm-hmm. what I can gather Thank is Ellie much. Is special because she is infected, but she yep. hasn't turned, right? I mean, we can kind of assume that. Well, what's to say she's the only one? Why wasn't this? He wasn't showing any symptoms. So in that case, Eddie, I thought the exact same thing. Like, why are we putting all of our eggs in Ellie's basket to save her when maybe she's not the only one? Right. Because, I mean, grandma turned and she like went rah, and then all of a sudden she's got sprouting fungal things coming from her mouth. Exactly. This kid's been walking at what looks to be a distance. Right. And he hasn't shown any kind of signs. So is he not just the same as the Ellie character? And
I don't agree with that. Jeremiah, go ahead.
I want to hear your thoughts.
Thank you.
Are you guys saying that the people that the generation that was born into this pandemic yes. have somewhat of a
the system doesn't a, read them as
no
as,
I think that they're positive but
because it's in their blood
is that what you guys are saying because that's pretty fucking hardcore
exactly
they've adapted.
It's all about evolution and they are the evolution
yes. No.
Yes.
group.
No, so yes. you're
Look at Ellie.
You're wrong.
Your fault you're was wrong. Ellie, then Sean. You're
Hold
wrong.
On. Wait, Jeremiah.
Because
Jeremiah.
Ellie, no, no. You're wrong. Because Ellie. Because Ellie's friend, she has a friend, and more likely she actually turns into it.
Did you see
yes.
the kids?
Yes, he had the fucking red on his. Exactly. Go back and watch it. He had red on his wrist,
but he hasn't turned. Matter. But he hasn't turned yet.
So here's the problem. You're making the supposition that they killed him or that something happened and that he didn't turn. The reason he had a fucking thing over his head is because he did turn. That's my supposition. He had the red mark on his wrist. He was tested positive. They know that he is it's coming out of his fucking mouth. They kill him. They put him in the fire. That's what they do. That's their protocol.
I think that's jumping to
you're jumping to just too as many conclusions as
that
I
we
am.
Don't know.
You're yet. Just jumping to different
exactly.
ones.
No, I am. But oh, you're right. I am.
Yeah,
no,
he
Sean,
has
we're on
red.
The same, we're on the same
him,
team.
He has
Sean,
red.
Because right now you don't only
he
see
has
it.
Has red.
Jeremiah's got something. Jeremiah,
the thing is,
she also has red. She also has red.
Oh my god.
And she. Well, this next episode, you're gonna realize you're wrong.
What we have here is that basically all we have for the time of infection. Okay, so if it's your neck, your face, or your hand, you have 5 to 15 minutes before you actually turn. If it's your arm, your torso, you have 2 to 8 hours. And if it's your leg, your foot, you have 12 to 24 hours. Okay. So if it was his arm and everything, you have to give it a chance that he was going to probably turn at some time. But you guys give an interesting right. fucking like a point of view, like, you know, because it made me think, okay, maybe it's just not just, you know, Ellie, but maybe there's more children out there.
Well,
and just
my thing
just
is what makes her so special? You know? Right. And all I'm saying is what makes
she
her
doesn't
so
have
special
the red. She's
that
not
nobody
turned.
Else is thought of that. But she has veins going.
They're
in her
burnt
arm.
Out. It's almost like the virus burnt out.
How many episodes have you watched?
Me? One.
Okay. Well then she does have the red.
She doesn't.
Soon, Sean.
No.
We will talk about this next episode.
What's interesting to me is when she is okay, so they're in the hall, right? They're in the hall and she's just escaped from her room and clearly there was the Michigas of the battery and the leader of the
Fireflies.
Fireflies was obviously hurt. I'm not sure if she was infected, bitten, or whatever. But the girl next to her, I can't remember her name, but she was definitely infected. You could see the fucking no ear. She had no ear. You got bit off.
No, no, no. She was shot. She was shot something. She was attacked.
Okay.
Yeah. She was also infected
because I'm telling you right now, there was a scene in the hall where she does something like she tries to keep Sarah there or something, and she moves forward in the hall and Sarah moves her head and she goes, like,
well, she's not Sarah.
I'm sorry. Who's the girl?
Ellie.
Ellie feels the infection. Ellie. She fucking feels the infection of that girl and was like, ooh, yeah, no, nope.
I actually thought it was a shootout.
I don't think the girl was infected.
It was a bad deal that went down. I probably need to watch that part again.
I'm going to have to because I agree
with Sean on that part. Ellie knows when people are infected.
She can feel it. She can feel the infection.
All right. Well, I mean, that definitely gives credence to why she's special.
I do think there's a population that they're coming back positive when they're not positive. Or they are positive, but they've grown immune to it somehow.
Yeah,
I think Ellie's by herself.
I agree with you, Ed. I would agree with that.
I like the fact that at the beginning of the episode, it gives you kind of like an idea how the fungus, the disease is spread. And what I was reading some notes about other people, what they were talking about, it has to do something with like wheat or flour or something like that. Because you see that many times that Sarah and Joel, they didn't have pancake mix, right? They missed their birthday cake. She goes to the next door neighbor that she was trying. They're like, hey, do you want some biscuits? She was feeding the biscuits.
Carbs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's carbs. But think about it. You know, if it's something regarding to wheat or like flour or something like that, and if it's a disease on it or something regarding to a fungi or something like that, that might have to do something with regarding to how it's being spread. But you can see if that's the case.
I normally roll my eyes at gluten-free people, so this changes everything.
Just saying, if you see that, maybe there's kind of a situation that happens or something like that, because it's kind of just weird how they kind of put clues regarding to that.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Yeah. So that is my big question is, how does it spread, right? Obviously, it spreads from creature bite to uninfected. Obviously, right. It can spread through some other means, because like grandma didn't get bit by anyone and all of a sudden they all got activated within a certain amount of time, I would think.
Mm-hmm. But the weird thing is grandma got it and it didn't seem like anybody else in the family had gotten it when grandma got it.
That's what Jeremiah's kind of suggesting is there's a gestation period and they're pumping grandma full of gluten or carbs or whatever it is, wheat, whole, you know, and obvious choice. I don't know if you guys know anything about wheat.
I don't know
generally
shit.
Though, but if you look back at like the 1940s, 1930s, wheat used to be fucking high, right? High as an elephant's eye. It was in these fields and they've genetically engineered it to get so much wheat to support the population that it doesn't grow anymore. It's this genetic stunted like fuckery of what it formerly was. And it's literally why there's so many gluten allergies today where there wasn't 25 years ago. It's because they've genetically engineered the wheat so much that this, I'm not saying they're creating a zombie apocalypse, but it's kind of an interesting concept.
Well, it's kind of interesting too, guys, that I found out that the game came out in 2013. And so basically the whole thing starts in 2013, right? So 20 years later, it's the future. This one goes back to 2003. And then it starts in our time regarding to the end of the world.
Yeah, they had to do that.
Why do you think so, if you don't mind me asking? Because I was kind of wondering, why would they do that?
They should have changed it to 2043 or 2053.
They had to avoid the coronavirus.
You think that's the reason why?
Absolutely.
Because it makes me think, like, what if it's like an ulti-universe or some shit like that they're trying to pull or something like that?
This I had that same thought, though. Yeah.
So, the multiverse of madness.
God damn, MCU.
I'm telling you right now, I think they moved it to just sever all. It would have been too close.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable. I think a lot of people would have been like, this is too close to home. I don't want to watch this shit. I'm telling you right now, I could see this show having a marked effect on people and the way that they – I really do. I think the first thing I fucking do, I'm sitting there watching a show and I'm like, dehydrated food for 4 years. How long?
Just make an Amazon fucking like Amazon purchase. Brandon, go.
So, all right. So I got a question. So with the exception of Jeremiah and Ed, to be honest – I don't know where you lie in this spectrum, but I know, Jeremy, you for the most part like horror films, right? You like scary movies and scary shows, right?
I love scary movies. Hate being scared.
Okay, so I thought so. So Sean and you and I don't, right? You're a little bit more adverse to them than I am. And Ed, I'm not really sure where you fall exactly on the spectrum. What do you think? I mean, and this is more towards Sean, but really to all you guys, except for Jeremy, because I know that you probably loved it. But was it scary? Was it too horror-y? Was it a turnoff for you? Or did you embrace this?
No. So for my rule generally is I don't like a being. I don't like something that's like infect. Like
a presence or something.
Like yeah. That's something that could be this. I know this could be real. Zombie apocalypse could be real. But like I really don't like religious iconography or okay. like the possession or, you know, like the exorcist of the world. Like that shit fucking scares me to death. This I can enjoy. Jump scares I can enjoy. I love creatures.
Really?
Creature features. Okay. Yeah. My problem, like Jaws is a terrifying movie. I love Jaws. I creature features are my jam. I love them so much.
Okay. Ed, what do you think? Was this scary to you?
It was not.
Okay.
I'm a big zombie fan. I think I've watched all zombie movies, and this was, it put me up there right with like Dawn of the Dead, I Am Legend, but in a better category than those ones. But it was very, I liked this type of scary. This is pretty easy to watch this.
Yeah. For me, I put, and I know, stick with us and you might see this one later this season in season four, but I put 28 Days Later on a fucking pedestal. I mean, that movie, does so much for the zombie genre. I mean, I know we keep talking about Walking Dead and rightfully so. However, 28 Days Later needs to be crowned most important.
Can I ask which one fucking 28 Days Later is?
The first one.
The first one.
Give me actors.
Okay, that's the one with
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy.
And Brendan Gleeson, the greatest actor ever.
Okay. If you have not seen that, Sean, it's fucking phenomenal.
No, I have seen it. And at the very end, he gets the cabin in the woods. Come on, it's 20 years old, fucker.
Don't spoil it. Well, we're gonna be tackling this in season four. We're tackling this in season 4.
20 years old.
It is actually 20.
Bruce Willis is dead.
Yeah, Bruce Willis is dead. Yeah. So let me ask you guys something, because to your point, Brandon, 28 Days Later fucking scares the shit out of me. But also things like The Road scares the shit out of me. That fucking frightens me regarding to being just horror, not just what the virus and the zombies, but fucking what people do. And they become all fucking Mad Max and fucking just crazy shit. Yeah. That to me is fucking scary.
Who the real monster is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But my question to you is, like, since we're all new here, what do you see going forward in the next episode here? I mean, what do you think is going to be happening the next few episodes? You know, because that last scene where he beats the shit out of that cop, I mean, it's just like he almost got triggered by that flashlight. Like, you know, he just went into this violent rampage, you know, regarding to... Yeah. Remembering like this thing that happened to his daughter.
Well, we haven't touched on the character of Tess, I think, at all. I do think that her lifespan on the show or the journey, at least, is going to be very, very short lived. My guess is that she's going to die within the next two episodes. I know that you guys, I think, have seen episode
isn't
two.
Isn't she from a TV show, guys? Wasn't she from
Fringe? I was going to bring her up. Okay. Her name is Anna Trovi. She is absolutely fantastic. I love her so much, and it was I was so excited to see her. She was also in a show called Mindhunter with Jonathan Groff. It was absolutely fabulous, and they freaking canceled it like idiots. But it was he was in charge of cultivating the serial killer program, where he would go into the prisons and talk to the serial killers and get ideas on how to catch other serial killers. She was so good in that show. If you ever get a chance to go see Fringe is X-Files meets Lost. It is one of the greatest programs ever developed. It is just, I cannot speak highly enough of it. It's 5 seasons and it's fabulous.
So I think she's going to die soon. I really do.
I know. I think so too. Here's what I am hoping for, Jeremy, to your question. I hope that we meet other people. I hope that it's not just them trudging through. I hope that we meet a bunch of different characters, a bunch of different societal rejects who have kind of carved out their own.
Okay.
Their own little.
But that
little...
that then is Walking Dead redone. I mean, it's already happened like that. So you want to find good people.
I want to see an underground railroad of people who are dedicated to getting this girl to where she's supposed to go. And you never know if it's a good person or a bad person. But here's my problem with Walking Dead is you always had like these battle scenes at the end of the season. They were basically in the prison, on the farm, at this place for the whole fucking season. I don't want that. Yeah. I want them to keep going. I want them to keep progressing.
Eddie, what do you think?
No, I hear you on that. I do.
Yeah.
I think I kind of agree with Sean. I want to see growth. I want to see more characters. I want to see almost like a little crew that helps along the way. And they don't have to last long, but I just want to see more people with Joel and
like Ellie. A cult of followers.
I want to see also a little bit more background of history of Joel with timelines, and I want to know where Tommy's at. I know he's looking for Tommy.
His brother.
Yeah, his brother. So I was hoping that maybe along the way he finds Tommy a little bit, and then maybe starts to have hope with Ellie, because right now he's really guarded with everything, the whole history. He doesn't believe in anything. So I'm hoping you see a better side of Joel. Maybe you see a little side of Ellie of like she has a whole side of the family that, you know, she says she's orphan, but maybe she's not.
Yeah,
you know, maybe it's her bloodline or something. I don't know.
I'll just say it real quick. Is what I want. And I hate to keep bringing it back to Walking Dead, and I think we're going to continue to do that throughout our talks about the show. But what I hated about Walking Dead, and one of the reasons why I finally tuned out and stopped watching Walking Dead, is because there was no end goal, right? It was just surviving, and it was just wandering around. And it was like there's no purpose. I want there has to be a purpose. And if that purpose is Wyoming to get to Tommy, so be it. If the purpose is to finding a cure through Ellie, so be it. But there needs to be an established purpose so that we're not just wandering around from town to town, meeting good people, meeting bad people, meeting good people who are then destroyed by the bad people. Because goddamn, I can't take another show that just has no driving purpose at all. So that's my frustration or worry, I guess.
But that's why Walking Dead did not have sustainability. I mean, it did have sustainability viewership, but long term, that's why Walking Dead didn't have sustainability. It's because there was no. It was just how long are you going to survive in the dome?
Yeah, so true.
So with Walking Dead, is you got the idea of people were untouchable, right? Like Daryl or Carol. Yeah. You get the idea of like they're not going to kill these people off. They're staying on the show. I want this show to bring on people that you fucking fall in love with and they kill them.
Like, well, they did that with Sarah. Right? So
Game of Thrones style. Yes. There's no one besides Joel and Ellie. Everyone's fucking expendable. Even Tommy.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Jer.
The creator of the show was talking about one of these behind the scenes specials that they want to explore the dark side of unconditional love. And I think you're going to see something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you going to do? What is one person going to do to protect that one person? What are you going to do for that unconditional love for that, you know, for either person? That one song, Depeche Mode, at the end of the episode, it's Never Let Me Down Again. I don't understand why they put that song. The song's about, you know, it's not taking a ride with your best friend. It's about taking a ride with your addiction. So is there going to be some type of like a theme
to that? It's about never letting mercy get in the way of your child. If you look at Pedro Pascal's character of, what's his name?
Joel.
Joel became more and more heartless as the car went in the beginning of the show. There was people on the side of the road and he's like, they'll find another, somebody else will stop. Somebody else will stop for him. Somebody else will help him. And he was trying so hard to get her through the line, what he perceived as this line, right? Whatever it is, this military, we go to Mexico, whatever it was. All he wanted to do was to get to the end of the line. And he realized when Sarah died, that it's not about how quickly you can get through the line. It's that you have to be meticulous. You can't trust anyone. Everyone's going to kill you. You have to like be this brutal force in the world to survive. And that's what he's become for the last 20 years. It's almost like he's been preparing for this role, for this moment, for 20 fucking years. And now is his opportunity to show what he's learned.
That right there is why I think he's ex-military. Now, we were talking about this back and forth. He has to be ex-military, not because he can handle a gun and a weapon or anything, but because he can steel himself against whatever comes. And I think it's tapping back into that.
And that brings us to the NR review. Now, it's time of the podcast where each of the hosts provides a score on the following scale. Eddie, Can you provide the following scale? Eddie, are you okay if you don't mind me asking? Your voice is a little different than normal.
No, I have laryngitis right now. So no. If someone else could give...
That's bullshit. He's got cordyceps infection right now. He's got cordyceps infection.
Oh, fuck. It's all fungi.
My nodes are broken.
All right. I'll do it for you, buddy. I'll do it for you. Zero, the perfect movie. You don't need shit to enjoy it. Oh, I'm sorry. There's another mistake in the script. Zero, the perfect show.
That was your mistake. That was your mistake.
The perfect show. You don't need shit to enjoy it. One,
I'll never change
a feel-good first cocktail. Two, happy buzz. Three, your Uber lifting home. Four, rough morning walk of shame. Five, blackout, shit-face, spring break, drunk. Gentlemen, let's begin with Ed because his nodes are in peril.
I like that.
So I really enjoyed this first episode of The Last of Us. I think Joel and Sarah, you got that bond between the mother, between the father and the daughter. I do have questions about the mom, and I hope we get into that. But I do like how Joel is just he was happy to be a dad. And obviously what happens, I love what they set up so far. And I think this is a good, very, very good start to the show. I think overall, for me, I'm going to grade this a little harder than I probably should. But overall, there is little parts. I think it's maybe because I haven't played the game and I went so into it blind. I don't want to compare it to The Walking Dead. It's hard not to. But as a show, this starts off really, really well. There's a lot to this movie that you see. There's a lot of detail to this movie that I think if you're not paying attention, it can go right past you. So I feel like watch this show twice maybe just to see little things you miss. I'm going to give this a 2. I'm going to give this a happy buzz. It caught me by surprise. I wasn't expecting this, but a happy buzz is where I'm going to rate this movie. It's better than average for me. Yeah. Sean.
So I always look at a pilot and I compare it to the greatest pilot of all time, which is Lost. Lost has the best pacing. It's the best 2 hours of television you'll ever see. I will fight that to the death. This show had similar type pacing, similar type reveal, similar type oh shit moments. I thought that it lacked in a little character development at the beginning, but at least it gave you something. And knowing what the show is, you don't want to reveal too much too soon. But I will say one of the brilliant parts about Lost is that they kind of played the Rolodex where you had your core group of characters, but they also focused on other characters. I hope that they do that here. I hope we learn a lot about each individual character as they progress. I hope that we flash back and see what they've done over 20 years. I don't give a shit if characters die. I still want to see what they've done. So I'm very looking forward to seeing how they handle this show. I think when you look at the acting and special effects, the budget, I think I'm a little better than Ed, but not by much. I think this is a 1.5. I think this is a very good start to what could be a very good show, but I'm not going to quite go to the level of, you know, when we did Stranger Things, when we did Obi-Wan, you had nostalgia. You had 30, 40, 50 years of Star Wars built into that episode. In Stranger Things, you had four or five, 6 years. This is new for me. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I like that.
Nice.
Nice, yo.
Okay, so I'll take next. Ed, I hear you. I feel like Eddie, this season is you and me embracing and making up for that bullshit Halloween score and episode. So I do appreciate being a friend of yours.
How about Wednesday? Honestly, we embraced Wednesday. Didn't...
Yeah, we could.
You guys were pretty cute on Wednesday.
It was pretty nice. But I hear you completely, and I do want to kind of preface this by saying I'm bringing my own kind of frustration with genre into this. I'm personally so post-apocalyptic overload. I'm just tired of that being kind of the go-to genre, and it's been that way, you know, really for the last 5 years, 10 years even. So to see another show set in the post-apocalyptic world where, you know, we didn't even talk about it, but like I'm watching it and I know that the whole point is to say, oh, man is the real monster and we have public executions again and it's been 20 years. And I get that that's a long time, but at the same time I'm thinking, okay, we're trying to show how bad we've devolved as a society, but I'm just tired of it, right? It doesn't shock me as much as I maybe want it to, because then I think I'll probably get something a little bit more out of the episode than I actually am. Sean, I agree with you. I think that the character development lacked. The only character that I really, really cared about was Sarah, which I think was done purposefully because we should love her and then we should mourn her and we should be sad that she's gone. But at the same time, we need to care a little bit more about Joel right from the get-go. Now, that said, I'm not writing it off. I think that it's got potential. I am very, very concerned about it trying to live up to and exceed certain shows and movies by copying them. Walking Dead, Children of Men, completely. Sean, just to fill you in on Children of Men, it's a post-apocalyptic world where nobody can get pregnant, and there's a pregnant woman who needs to be escorted through the dead, dying world by the one true, good vigilante type guy. Going. Well, that's the whole fucking story, right? And well, that's The Last of Us, and so I'm worried about that. Not saying it's bad, I'm just worried about it trying to copy too much. So for me, I'm hesitant. I think it was better than an average show, but I'm going to give it a 2.25. I think that my worries and my frustration with the genre kind of got the best of me here, and I'm hoping that that's going to be brought down significantly over the season. So 2.25 for me. Jeremiah, what you got?
Guys, I didn't have a problem with this episode for this pilot. I actually think this is one of the better pilots that I've seen since Lost and The Walking Dead. And for someone who barely has played the game, in which this game came out 10 years ago, I think they knocked it out of the park, especially for being a video adaptation for either their TV show or a movie. They usually fucking suck. This one was totally different. I thought the story was terrific. I thought the directing was unbelievable, and the style of shots were just like, on another level regarding to the mood and the atmosphere and how thick the tension was during some of these scenes. I really enjoyed the shit out of it. But it really comes down to, and for me, I thought the acting, I thought the whole story sits on them, and I thought they knocked it out of the park, The only thing I have a problem with this episode, it was too fucking long. However, I'm excited what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but you know what? I'm going to be taking a ride with my best friends with this series, guys. And you guys are fucking with it. I'm fucking in, man. So this is going to be a 0.75. I really enjoy the fuck out of this episode.
Interesting.
So that's my score.
All right. 0.75 for Jared. Right,
when you take those scores and you divide by four, Brandon, what does that get this episode? Skipping you because your voice.
Yeah, so that gets us a 1.625, a 1.625.
Perfect.
All right, a 1.625. So that's
a decent score.
Yeah, it's the first episode. I'm really looking forward to the rest of this series. I will say that when we started Wednesday, I was a little hesitant. I liked it, but I wasn't sure where it was going. I think I'm more excited about this one. I'm really excited about it here.
I'd agree with you on that.
All right, if you enjoyed our review or a fan of the podcast, we ask you please subscribe wherever you're listening and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can also find us on Instagram at the Dot Gentleman Podcast. The dot means a lot. At the Dot Gentleman Podcast. You can visit our website, thegentlemanpodcast.com. And if you want to reach out to us by email, you can do that at hosts with an hosts at thegentlemanpodcast.com. Thank you for listening. And one thing, we did get a request from a fan, and we need to look into this, Jeremiah. I'm gonna put this on you. There's a show called The Terror, and he suggested The Terror might be something that we look into. It's a little older show, and it's we're just gonna leave it there. I think you should look into it. And let's get some feedback about
going. I think it's awesome that listeners want us to do shows and whatnot. So yeah, we'll definitely look into it. And other listeners, if you have any episodes that you want us to do or something like that, throw it by us, man.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, gentlemen. Cheers, and we'll see you next week for another episode of The Last of Us. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Cheers.